Hi, come join us. Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for being on time. Today we have a few visitors, four young men. All of them I just knew from last week, so we welcome them. Thanks for coming. And later I've got a story to tell about these people. You all must come. You know why? Once you come, the age of this congregation dropped by 50%. Maybe the rest, obviously, you can see Lau Kok Kok one. Look at Wing, about 75. No, he's just kidding, 60. Next week, 60, we're going to sing this song. What's the Cantonese song? Gong Zhou Le Sang. Yeah, okay. Sabrina, next week, get ready to sing on stage. I give you 1 week notice. Come, let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. As we come before you, we welcome the visitors in Jesus' name. For those who are sick, for those who are ill, Lord, let the healing process begin, and the process of healing begin in the spirit and the soul. So, Lord, we commit all we have to you. We ask, O God, that you bless us even as we come before you. May this service be acceptable sacrifice to you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. For those who are new to us, the four men, what we usually do is we get someone to come and share every week. And these people are people who are regular with us before we get started. So this week, we have a privilege of getting Joey to just come and share. I told her to just keep it to 5 minutes and let's see whether she can do it. Can we welcome Joey? Come.
Good evening, everyone. Okay. Actually, I'm quite scared. While I was preparing this draft for the sharing today, I stumbled across John 5:31, verse 40. I was taken by surprise with these verses because through these verses, God has actually let me realize the importance of sharing, okay, of my testimony through them. By sharing and honoring God, I could bring more people to believe in Him, as a lot of us would like to seek for signs and see in order to believe. I have accepted God when I was a child. It just happened because I had always seen my godbrother praying near the window. So one day I asked him, "God, what are you doing?" He just answered me, "Take this paper and go to the window and say all these words." So I just went to the window and read what was on the paper. That was the first time I talked to God. So after 20 years, during my catch-up with Jolene at ION, year 2011, Jolene started to share with me how she came to know God and accepted God in her life. Seeing a change in her made me want to follow her once to FCBC. When she asked, and that was when I started to accept God again in my life. During 2012 to 2013, I started to know a little bit more about God. But I'm still not yet so convinced because I haven't experienced any miracle until I met a lady in church. And she advised me to go to KKH for my fertility problem. After a year plus of treatment, I had finally decided to sign for IVF. I prayed constantly 3 times a day in a month before the start of IVF, hoping to conceive naturally. Then one day, one of my friend who is a Christian, who actually said, "What if God let you conceive naturally exactly before you start your IVF?" Then, praise the Lord, I have actually conceived naturally exactly the day when I supposed to start my IVF, which is 4th of May 2013. After giving birth to my third wise man, Matthias, my gynae, Dr. Tan, from KKH told us that, "Hey, it's actually a miracle for you and your husband to have your 3 kings without any complications during my pregnancy due to my condition." And he actually mentioned very clearly, "God has answered your wife's prayers." This current job that I'm having now is also given by God. It's also one of the testimony. During that time, I was very, very depressed because I couldn't find a job that suited me, because I can't fit to the culture, and I'm not a person that handles stress efficiently. So however, one day God just led me to the current company, and this company is actually willing to buy me out with no terms and condition at that point of time. Currently, I feel so blessed because I have a group of Christian colleagues in my current workplace. We will worship together. We will pray for each other during our lunch breaks fortnightly. We even have WhatsApp group to encourage one another when trials come. So at this end of my sharing, I would like to let everybody know, God loves us and will never leave us in times of trials. And not only that, God's timing is perfect.
Well, thank you so much. Thanks. Can Yip and Karen, can you all push forward so that I can try to not posture please too much? Yip and Stanley, don't mind, can you all push forward before I start? Come. Pull forward, yeah. Joe and Eddie as well, yeah. But there's nothing against you, but you got a kid, you can stay there. Yeah, thanks. Yeah. Come, the rest come forward. Well, wonderful testimony, guys. And I always like having people give testimony. Well, she give and chow. That's only because she's doing kids ministry, right? But I really enjoyed the testimony because if you don't have someone speak, if you like talk to someone outside, they're not going to come and say, hey, hi, my name is Joey. Do you know that IVF? And then just before IVF and natural, you never. But you force someone to come here, you hear all the things, and I'm just so encouraged by hearing this. It's just so wonderful. And can I just let you know, secret and now she's out of this. She's the first one who said that she wants to be baptized. Auntie, ting tao ma? She says she wants to get baptized, and she already submitted the form. So on the 15th of October, she will be the one, and I have the privilege of just really getting her baptized and that kind of thing. And I want to just encourage. And for those four of you staring right at me, we're wondering what's happening, you must keep coming. Then after that, you hear me more, and then we'll take it from there. So I wanted to just also tell you that as I hear her, I am very encouraged because it's a young believer. It's not like she has a very big story to tell, Winston. But you got the three kings now. She's got four kids, three plus you, four kids to look after. But as I hear that, I'm very encouraged. And I've seen the few of you, your children enjoying kids ministry. And the best part is after a while, we try to get people to learn how to serve. Not only will you sit down here and every day just listen and listen, but after a while, we want people to start serving. And that's exactly what we have. Here, come and give a testimony and go and serve. So I like that. And with that, I think people will grow. Don't just come here and sponge and sit down there and do nothing. I think it does nobody any good. What's the point of having a big head that you have all the knowledge like a tadpole, but you don't exercise and you don't learn what you get exposed to? So I wanted to just also encourage us. What a tremendous testimony. And if you know anything about me, when I ask people to give rostering everything, I just almost hum tam. I just went to someone, and then Jolene, I said, next week, can you do? And then after I just saw Owen. I've had you on my mind for a long time already. And then I just talked to him, and then next thing, he'll be giving a testimony in 2 weeks' time, but just right smack after Teacher's Day. And guess what? Owen is a scoundrel, also known as a teacher. No, I mean a teacher. And that's the best time. So I think God has his timing for everything, so I want to just encourage us. And for those of you who are new to this thing, today I'm jumping straight right in. Have they gotten the Bible app? So you follow me, yeah? You guys are at a technical tutorial, okay? I don't know what you go to, but just bear with me. I know it's a bit difficult, but you're going right smack in the middle of going through this book of Nehemiah. So bear with us even as you go to the book of Nehemiah. You go to chapter 6, and today we want to go to chapter 6, and we will take it from there. We have been covering chapters 1 to 5 already, almost like one chapter a week, and today we are going on to chapter 6, and I want to go on to my slides. In chapter 5, last week, I think I entitled the service, the message about envisioning opposition. All right, can you go to chapter 6? All right, you find Nehemiah chapter 6. Okay. Owen, teacher, can you make sure my students all are into chapter 6? I'm prepared to wait for them. Make sure they have. Yoma, this is brilliant. I love this. This is what church is all about. Luther, well done. And Luther, do you know what is sitting behind them? You and they, Luther, you have something in common. You got into accident, they also got into accident. So later on, to pray for them because some of them are injured. So I want you to come forward to pray for them. So sitting behind you is another accident victim. I already told the young boys, the people come here, all something wrong. I mean, not something wrong, how do I say this? Those people who come to me for my clients, they have something. Either got accident, if not, they got something. Last time used to be bankrupt, right? He very happy to tell people he used to be bankrupt. The key is, used to be. But no longer. You used to be injured, but you get well. So I want to pray for some of us who have been injured, physically, whatever. So I'm really thankful the four of you come here. I want to just really pray for you. One of them looks like J.J. Lin some more, I told him. I told him I'm going for his concert. Later, you all look at the four of them, you know who looks like who. My wife and I are going for your concert. Make sure you sing your favorite song. And refund me the ticket price, please. As we come before you, chapter 6, Nehemiah, if you're open to chapter 6. Last week, I talked about envisioning opposition. When you do something for God, guys, expect opposition. Expect opposition. There will be opposition to whatever you want to do. It's either some people are for you or some people against you. Remember last week I told you about, I was just telling some people, we've got this friend who is now running, wanting to run 100 miles in US in 30 hours. He went to go for this ultra don't know what test. So now we hear that he's got breathlessness over there. Because I think he just landed and maybe it's on high altitude or the air is a bit thin or whatever. So I said, no, I will be praying for you. I pray for you that the only time you'll be breathless is when you see your beautiful wife. Otherwise, you shouldn't be breathless. But when you want to do something like running 100 miles in 30 hours, you expect opposition. Opposition from the weather, which is outside, but it's also opposition even from the body. Have you tried running 100 miles, Zhang Yu? Never, right? 100 miles in 30 hours. Between you and me, that fellow Royston, I think he's mad. I say this because he's not around, but if you listen to YouTube, he knows that I said that. He is mad about wanting to achieve the objective. Very good. I pray for him that he will achieve. But as we come before the Word of God, we understand that when you do something for God, it will cost you something. I always tell people, God, what for do something that costs you nothing? Sabrina, what's the point of doing something that costs you nothing? What's the point of doing something that costs you no effort? It means nothing. But if you do something that costs you something, you pay a price. And for the record, I'm not telling you to be masochistic and want to do something purposely to tekan yourself. No, but when you do something, Winston, it will cost you something. But in doing so, we have a great and awesome God, right? We keep talking about definitely great and awesome. Great God, He's full of mercy, full of wisdom, full of grace, but He's awesome because when we go to troubles, when we're involved in trouble, Fushan, God, who is awesome, will help us. So you see for ourselves time and again in the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah has been helped by God and continues to be helped by God. So today I go into chapter 6 and I wanted to just go right in into chapter 5. Sorry, today is chapter 5. What am I talking about? Today we're talking about chapter 5. And if you look at your Bible, I don't know whether you have yours, but my Bible says in the caption, the chapter 5, Nehemiah helps the poor. I didn't know I'll say that, but I want to say that. Today, before coming to this service, some three ladies, and after that, because they went to drink coffee, they came in only at 5:10 p.m., they went to help the poor. They went to Renzi Hospital to help. And I want to tell you guys, there is a mandate. The Bible says that you have to help the poor. In fact, I'm going to tell you so much so that you can have love, you can have affection, you can love your wife and your husband and family, but you have no charity within your spirit, my friend, you have a problem. There must be the concept of and the spirit of charity, meaning that you want to help the poor. You go and read the parables of the sheep and the goats and you tell me what the Lord says in the Bible. When you read the parable of the sheep and the goats, when you can't beat the sheep and the goats, sheep left, goats right. Who goes to heaven? Gun? The sheep. Meh, the sheep. Not the goat. The sheep goes. What's the difference between the sheep and the goat? They'll be both asking God, God, what did I do for you so that I'm a sheep and not the goat? It is those people who help the poor. So I told Joe, I want you to talk to Karen. All Karens are good people, you understand? So talk to the one who's not my wife. Talk to her, I want us to go charity because we need to fulfill God's mandate. Make sense? And maybe when I do charity, then all four of you must come. You know why? Carry rice, I cannot carry, too heavy, but you all can. But when we do something for God, something stirs. We are fulfilling the mandate. Does it make sense? What's the point of having so much money? I tell you what, Karen, actually the simplest thing to do is, Joe, why don't you write out a check, $5,000 gift, and then we do nothing. I don't want to do like that. That's the simplest thing to do. Like that, nyap also can give. Nyap, give me 10,000. Nyap, nyap, talking to you, give me 10,000 now. Give the check. And that's charity. That's not charity. That is, I don't know what you call it, but that's not charity. Charity is buy the rice. I want to say cook the rice. Buy the rice. Bring the rice. Carry the rice. Bring it to the homes. Now, that's charity. Karen, can I have that done? That's what I want to do. Now, that's charity. Nehemiah helps the poor. And you have seen we have a problem here in chapter 5, Jun Yan, and all these people with Jun Wan, they are good people too. There's a Jun Yan, it's a Jun An, the one who looks like J.J. Lin, right? I'm also Jun. I'm Jun Hua. Can you tell? Ying Jun the Jun, Cai Hua the Hua. Obvious, right? Karen, why are you laughing so loud? But when they came to building the wall, we have a problem in chapter 5. You see the problem? We and our sons, the chapter 5, verse 2 says, some of the Jews were saying, we and our sons and daughters are numerous. In order for us to eat and stay alive, we must get grain. They got no rice. Now you see the Ukraine problem is giving us a problem because of a blockade. Until now, they are finally begin to, at the Black Sea, open up a path for the grain to go. Others were saying, we are mortgaging our fields, our vineyards, and our homes to get grain during the famine. Still others were saying, we've had to borrow money to pay the king's tax on our fields and vineyards. Although we have the same flesh and blood as our fellow Jews, and though our children are as good as theirs, yet we have to subject our sons and daughters to slavery. It's a major problem. Some of our daughters have already been enslaved, but we are powerless because our fields and our vineyards belong to others. Here you have a problem where the Jews freed from the Gentiles, but now Jews and Jews, we got a problem. The rich and poor dichotomy and delineation. So guys, the Gini coefficient, the rich and poor coefficient, last time already have this kind of problem. Now we see it as well, right? The rich and the poor, the Gini coefficient, staring at your face. When Nehemiah heard the outcry and have discharges, verse 6, today I want to anchor on verse 6 and I'll show the first slide, Leon or Philip. The first slide says, Nehemiah was damn pissed. That's not in your Bible. When I say damn pissed, you get it. In Nehemiah chapter 6, if you read that, Jun Yang, when I heard, meaning Nehemiah. Nehemiah is like the governor of this place, okay, Foshan? When Nehemiah heard their outcry, that means the Jews were crying out because they were stumped. The daughters were enslaved, they got no money to buy rice. When he heard their cries and discharges, he was very angry. I've got a question for you. Next slide, please. Can we, should we, ought we, how can we, what should our response be when we're angry? Some people say, Ivy, you mean Christian can be angry? Christian not supposed to be angry. What do you think, Malcolm? Can Christians be angry? Winston, can Christians be angry? What do you think? Owen, can a teacher be angry? Can ah? Oh, what school ah? I tell my students, my son, avoid that school. But there is a place for anger. But the anger, as a believer, I say, must be righteous anger. When I send the slides to Jo, who prepares my slide every week, she was damn pissed of something. I'm not gonna ask her what she's pissed about. Maybe it's TG not right. I also don't want to know. Don't tell me. But when she saw righteous anger, God spoke to her. Because maybe what she had was not righteous anger, but human anger. There's a difference between human and righteous anger. Sabrina, sometimes angry you wing or not? Never. Are you for real? Angela, sometimes angry you Daniel go or not? Angela, the husband's name is exactly the same name as me, Daniel Goh. But the only difference is I'm 10 times better looking than the husband, who is Daniel Goh. Angry with Daniel Goh before? Never. There's a difference between human anger and righteous anger. Can we be angry? Can. But there must be righteous anger, not human anger. Let me show you some verses. Next slide. Nehemiah 5:6, I showed you, he was very angry. So we got to ask ourselves, why was Nehemiah angry? And as a result of the anger, yielding, what did Nehemiah do? That must be it, right? So when someone is angry, you see the manifestation. What was the anger about? And when Jesus was angry, what was the response? Did he kick up a fuss in the temple? Yes, rightly so, because they were gambling within the temple courts, flipped everything. But after that, did he do something to kill the people? No, he did things that were to remedy the situation. So there's a place for righteous anger. In Ephesians 4:26, in your anger, Paul writes, in your anger, do not sin. That already tells you something, Jun Yang. It is okay to be angry, but when you are angry, you cannot sin. Is that okay with you, Malcolm? You can be angry. When Liverpool lose to Manchester United on Monday by 6-1, be angry, it's okay. Just don't sin. In your anger, do not sin. Sharon? When you're angry, the time you're doing the dental, don't take it out on the patient. Wow, it's so itchy. Yeah. In your anger, do not sin. Next verse, James 20. Human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. So in your anger, do not sin, and it stand right at your face, James 1:20, and after a while, Jin Yang will be an expert using the Bible app. There's another book of James, but I give it to you today. James 1:20 says, human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. It tells you that human anger is therefore not the right anger, but you can have righteous anger, because James 1:20 says, produce the righteousness that God desires. If you have anger that produces the righteousness that God desires, it's okay. Are you with me? So today, I didn't know I'll go to it, but I want to talk about righteous anger. As I look at Nehemiah, he was really, really angry. Go down to the next slide. He was so angry that I have to tell you, righteous anger was the thing that triggered him. The thing that triggers people, Philip, next slide. What triggers people? This youth language, right? Trigger. I didn't even know this word trigger, but now I'm beginning to use some of your language. The last time I heard was this thing. I was playing football about 10 years ago. That fellow gave a pass to me. That fellow said, oh, my bad, my bad. I was thinking, what's my bad? The whole game, I was so distraughted. What's my bad, my bad? My bad means my mistake. My bad, my bad. I couldn't play the whole game because it's like kind of rubbish English. But now even some people who are older than me all use my bad. But when you're triggered, also another term, right? When do you trigger righteous anger? Can I tell you some things to think about? When you're triggered, righteous anger can be triggered by evil. When you are faced with evil, will you not be angry? If someone, Owen, someone does something evil to your son, will you stand up and say, oh, carry on, come, come, it's okay. It's for his learning, come, come, come. Do more evil. No, why? You'll be triggered. You're triggered by evil. So the good word are triggered. You respond because there's evil. Next thing is, when you are triggered by righteous anger, what do? You have self-evaluation. I want to give some points and that you will see when Nehemiah talks further. Next point, you will see that it's not only to be angry, triggered, but there's grief. And sometimes grief is a good thing. Next point, you'll be led, triggered to be led by God's love. After you have righteous anger, you'll be led by God's love. Now, that's what we want to home in for, right? Next point, you will act quickly and decisively. So when you have the right kind of anger, not the human anger, but the righteous anger, take note of some of these things, and I want to just now quickly go and show you how that was the case in this case. Next slide. In the context here, what has happened is, as I read in Nehemiah, you saw in chapters, in verses 1 to 5, they were actually doing something bad to the Jews. In verse 7, I read for you, if you read to verse 7, Nehemiah verse 7, he was very angry, damn pissed, right? He pondered in his mind, and then he accused the nobles and officials. I told them, you are charging your own people interest. Bankers, it's okay. At that time, they were charging interest. Context. At that time, in that society, the Jewish society, loans were meant to be interest-free. Not supposed to take advantage of each other, and in fact, they're supposed to be cancellation of loans everyone once in 7 years. So, in that context, last time when you read the Word of God, and in this time when Nehemiah, I think it's about 456 BC, donkey years back, 2,500 years ago. Get it? 456 BC means before Christ, right? Before Christ, now it's 2022. 2022 plus 456, 2,500 years ago, you didn't have to take out a loan with interest. Not like people like us, when we buy a house, you got a mortgage. Some people say, sell your soul. Which is the truth. I tell people, hey, young guys, listen to me. Uncle here tell you, if you buy a house and your mortgage is going to kill you, you're selling your soul. Don't over-leverage. Do you read today's papers? Not yet, right? You read about those people in other countries in Asia? There's this guy in Thailand, I think he earns 35,000 baht, which earns up to about $1,560, bought an apartment in Bangkok. But he said he bought the apartment, now one-third of his salary goes towards the mortgage, but he didn't factor in that a piece of bread last time used to be X dollars, is now 20% more of X. Petrol used to be this, 30% of Y. A lot of things you don't factor. So when we leverage ourselves, we got problems. So that's the problem with, I digress. But that's the problem here when we have people who also charge interest. So at that time, in context, you're not supposed to charge interest. So Nehemiah was really, really, very angry. So what did he do? And Nehemiah is a master builder, right? But like I said before to these people, he was not an engineer. He went there. Can I tell you something? When Nehemiah got the mandate or the call from God to go and build a wall, did he think that he'll be engaged in violence? Did he think that he'd be getting ridiculed by people? Did he know that he has to do all these town hall meetings all the time? Maybe in his simple mind, he would just go there, God tell me, you go and build, I will build a wall and I'll come back. Correct? Did he know that he'd be threatened people? Did he know that he'd be ridiculed? Did he know that he'd be mocked? Did he know that he'd be a lot of things? I tell you something, guys. That is why when you do something for God, there will be sacrifice. You can expect opposition. Don't just think, oh, Joe, just come and join church, nothing, everything will be whatever. There will be opposition. There will be things that you need to deal with. That's why sometimes she still gets pissed. But we're all human, right? But it's the righteous anger of God that will undergird us. In verse 7, what did she do? He then called together a large meeting and he said, as far as possible, we've bought back our fellow Jews who stole to the Gentiles. Now you are selling your own people only for them to be sold back to us. They kept quiet because he accused the people, the officials and the rest, exactly what they were doing because they could find nothing to say. They kept quiet. So verse 9, it says, so I continue, Nehemiah says, what are we doing is what you are doing is not right. Shouldn't you walk in the fear of God to avoid the reproach of our Gentile enemies? I and my brothers and my men are also lending the people money and grain. First things first. When Nehemiah said what he said, and later you see the slide, here he's telling the people don't charge interest, right? Correct? And then if you read verse 10, I and my brothers and my men are also lending the people money and grain. But let us stop charging interest. Question. Not so clear from the Bible. I can even ask you a Fushing if you read this. Question. Did Nehemiah also charge interest? Wing, what do you think? He doesn't say it very clearly, right? But if you read between the lines, he says, I and my brothers and my men are also lending the people money and grain. He didn't say also lending people money and grain and charging interest. But let us stop charging interest. Let us stop charging interest. He doesn't say, I also lend people money and grain and collect interest. But Karen, who in their right minds will lend people money and grain and don't charge interest? Correct. So can I suggest to you that Nehemiah was also wrong? Make sense? Next page. No, next slide. Check ourselves. Don't accuse people and then don't look at ourselves. That's our problem sometimes here, when we scold people, especially those of us in the market. Sometimes we tell our junior subordinate, oh, you this, you that, like, so it's like, why you never do this, why you never that, whatever. How about you also check as the boss or the superior? Oh, all these young men, maybe already started working or studying, next time go out to work. There will be people who will call you names, right? But how about we also check ourselves that we don't call people under us names? If you do, better make sure that you know what you're talking about. Check ourselves. When we say something about others, what do we do? Have we also been guilty? And it's interesting that Joe was telling me, I didn't know that we're doing Lord's Communion. And as I was preparing these slides, I was telling her, and I think it was on a weekday and a Friday, I took 1 hour quickly download. It's interesting that today we're doing Lord's Communion. You know, when we do Lord's Communion later, the four young men later, when we do communion, you don't need to participate, but you can observe. Why? Because it's the first time you're here. So you just have to observe and respect the occasion, but it's a good time for you to be here. But when we take the Lord's Communion, one thing we need to do is, we need to, what do? You judge. When don't do the communion and say, wow, God, this Sabrina, my wife, very difficult. That's not your problem. Your problem is you judge who? You judge yourself. That's why you take communion, right? You judge yourself. Sabrina do the same. Sabrina say, wow, this Wing, go KL, never even buy my favorite wonton mee there to come back. And then after that, only went Tiong Bahru and then buy the, don't know what, the Jian Bo Chui Kuih for Karen. Then never even think of me. Don't do that. No need to judge other people. When you do Lord's Communion, Sharon Owen, judge yourself. Not your wife, your husband, yourself. When you do Lord's Communion. Isn't that the same thing that Nehemiah is doing here? He judged not only others, but he judged himself. The next slide, I ask you one more time. Did Nehemiah charge interest? I suggest to you he did. I can't prove it, but I think so. Who thinks he didn't charge interest? Raise your hand. Who thinks he charged interest? Raise your hand. Who doesn't think anything or not thinking or sleeping? Raise your hand. Fushen, was he charging interest? What do you think? Ah, yes. Oh, wow, my goodness. I like, man. It's turning out to tutorial. Jun Yang, what do you think? Yes. Exactly. I also can teach, man. Can I be a teacher? I think so. I suggest to you, he he charged interest. So when you think about things, and later I will tell you something else. When you evaluate, when you do something, the triggering points, there must be self-evaluation. When there's righteous anger, don't just be pissed with someone. Hey, don't for a second think that we're not at fault. Every time we are angry with something, what do you do? Ah, yeah, this Sharon's always... But actually, maybe I was also at fault. But maybe all of us were at fault. How about all of us recant, repent, and do something? Make sense? It's always like that. When you fight a legal case, most often, it is not definitely completely at fault. Maybe you also a bit at fault. You know what I'm saying? When you fight a breach of contract situation or even a divorce matter, when you fight, I mean, seldom is it the case that it's the wife completely at fault or the husband completely at fault. Everybody contributed to something. He gave another rousing speech at verse 12. Verse 11, he says, give back to them immediately the fields, vineyards, olives, groves, and houses, and also the interest you are charging them. 1% of the money, grain, new wine, and olive oil. Verse 12. We will give it back, and we will not demand anything more from them. We will do as you say. I notice Nehemiah is quite a politician. Can I have the next slide, please? In verse 2, if you look at chapter 2, verse 18, wasn't he the same Nehemiah who gave a speech? He gave a speech, and what was the response when the people saw him giving a speech and said that, you know, God has sent me here, God has provided all that I need, we need to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, paraphrasing. What did the people respond to say? They replied, verse 18, let us start rebuilding. And so they began their good work. That was 2:18. And here another rousing speech. After I just read what I did in chapter 5, verse 11, he gives a rousing speech. What do they do in verse 12? They respond positively. When you have righteous anger, don't only be angry. If you're angry, you just scold people, nothing happens. The righteous anger must translate into positive action. So what do you see here? A rousing speech, grieved into action, he's governed by the love of God. Is that okay? That's the positive response of righteous anger. After that, what happens? He does something good. He acts. He rouses people. But he also says that, hey guys, don't only think that you're at fault, I'm also at fault. That's why I say, let us stop charging interest. Let us. If you are going to be a good politician, you don't always use I, never. You always say we. We can do something. Let. Whatever. It's very collective, isn't it? Next slide. I alluded to that. When we inspire others, we inspire ourselves. How many days did he take to build the wall? For the four young men, this guy Nehemiah was called by God to go to Jerusalem. Jerusalem was in ruins. Jerusalem is actually the city of God. Supposed to be very nice, right? But can you imagine it was in ruins? So God sent him there. He took 120 days to pray. He took only 52 days to rebuild the wall. So whatever we're talking about now, all this rousing speech and whatever occurred in the 52 days. Okay? Just to give you the context. So in the 52 days, he had to make speeches. He had to inspire people. Can I suggest to you, when you inspire others, you also inspire yourself. I'm not saying go around and talk to yourself. Blah, 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 blah. Have you seen people talking to themselves? Those people that need to go somewhere. But when you are talking to people, actually, you could be talking to yourself, isn't it? That's exactly what I'm doing now. Hopefully, when I'm talking to people like that every week, I try to tell people I also shouldn't be doing what I say people are doing. I better walk the talk, isn't it? Cell leader Malcolm, I hope that when you tell people, Sharon, do this, Owen, do that, when you're inspiring others to do something, you're also talking to yourself. Not that you become deluded, but when you inspire others, I hope you're also talking to yourself and something good happens. Let's talk about what he does that inspire other people. Verses 12 to 14. I already read to you, right? Verse 12. The people responded by saying, I will not charge interest. In fact, what I do, I will give back the interest. We will give it back and we will not demand anything more from them. We will do as you say. And then what did he do? He summoned the priests and made the nobles and officials take an oath to do what they had promised. At this, the whole assembly, I jump a few lines, said amen and praise the Lord, and the people did as they had promised. As a result of Nehemiah's speech and rousing speech, if I may say so, the people made an oath. They do as they had promised. Do you know that when you go to court, if I, some of you, my clients, if you ever go to court, if you ever go to court, and by the time you're a Christian, Chris and Denise not here. Did I tell you Chris and Denise, they want another client? So I tell you, everybody come here, either kena langga lah, his and that, all the chapalang all come here. Hey, church is like a hospital, you understand? It is a hospital. If you're not sick, no need to come. It's people who need God and who need physical healing, who need to find out more about God. They come, isn't it? If you're all well, come for what? You don't need God. God came to save the sick and to reach out to the sinners. What was I talking about, see? I gotta digress. So when we make an oath, do you know that when you go to court, they will ask you, Christian or not Christian? Christian, Bible, put your hand on it. I hereby swear. So you make an oath. You understand? That when I say nothing, hereby say, whatever I say is nothing, the truth. So help me God. You swear. But if you are not a believer, you just do an affirmation. So there's something premium. Not against other religions, but something about the believers you get to swear by God. Want to try? Very easy. Commit a crime and then I can help you, then you can get to go and try. Want to try? But when you're a witness, you raise your hand, swear by the Holy Bible. There's something about making an oath. So I tell people, when you give your word, you make an oath. Please be careful what you say. But the people here make an oath. They said amen. They praised the Lord. And the people did as they had promised. Isn't that wonderful? They didn't rebel. Hey, interest, okay lah. I tell you what, Wing. Whatever I charge you, I don't charge you anymore. But I keep the rest. No, this one is, they give back. We will give it back. They didn't protest against what Nehemiah suggested. They gave back. They praised God, the whole assembly. In verse 13, and the people did as they had promised. Make an oath, they did as they had promised. So the speech, out of the righteous anger, Nehemiah gave a speech, inspired others. How did he inspire himself? There was also a response from Nehemiah himself. I tell you why there's a response of Nehemiah, because the words that are used is telling. Fu Sheng, what's the first word in verse 14? Nehemiah first chapter 5, verse 14. What's the first word? Anybody? JJ Lin, first word? Moreover, what does it tell you? So I tell you, when you read the Bible, guys, it's very easy to read. It's like a storybook. The Bible is not meant to be read by people like Henry Kissinger and smart people like Lee Kuan Yew and all the rest of us don't need to read. The Bible is supposed to be for simple people. Not that you and I are simple, but simple enough for all us to read so that even today you come to church for the first time, you read, you understand immediately. The word here, moreover, means what? There's a further response, correct? Moreover, what does it say here? Moreover, after what the people had responded, moreover, from the 20th year of King Ahasuerus, when I was appointed to be the governor of the land of Judah. That means now Nehemiah is talking about himself. Neither I nor my brothers ate the food allotted to the governor. But the earlier governors, those preceding before me, placed a heavy burden on the people and took 40 shekels of silver from them in addition to food and wine. The assistants also lorded over the people. But listen to this. Verse 15 at the end. But out of reverence for God, I did not act like that. Question. Who is Nehemiah? He's the governor, right? Is he entitled to tax the people? What does the Bible say? Answer is yes, right? Do you read it? It says here, yes, because the earlier governors, verse 15, placed a heavy burden on the people and took 40 shekels of silver from them, in addition to food and wine. Question. In his position as a governor, could he tax? Answer is yes, he could, but he did not. He did not. Because he felt the people are already so chum. The daughters are enslaved. Remember we read earlier on? Daughters enslaved. Sold their land. Pay exorbitant interest or pay interest. Cannot afford. Food costs going up. Inflation. Sounds familiar. What happened 2,500 years ago is happening now. They were suffering. And Nehemiah, in response to what he said to people, he was also self-evaluating. In righteous anger mode, guys. That's why I tell people, when you're angry, know why you're angry, what you're angry about, what's your response? I'm also talking to myself because I get angry quite often. Ask my wife. Ask my children. Don't look at me, joke all. I can be very fierce. JJ Lin, do you think I can be very fierce in court? Do I look very fierce? I also say. Instead, verse 16, I devoted myself to the work on this wall. All my men were assembled there for the work. We did not acquire any land. The other thing he didn't do was, in his position of influence, right, Yiling, you know what he can do? He can buy up more park. He can buy clay, more park, simi, more park also can buy. Because it's prime property. He did not take advantage of his, I won't use the word insider information, but hey, if you're in a position of influence, you know what to do, right? Huh? Yeah. Never tell me which property to buy. Never tell me this. Then you yourself buy. This one, he did not take any land. He did not acquire. Meaning that he did not take advantage of his position. Do you follow? What does 16 tell you? The only thing he did, Angela, was he, Nehemiah, was very clear. His only job was devoted to building the wall. That's the only thing he cares about. What a wonderful, wonderful testimony. Only thing you care about. What's your purpose? Why are you in this world? What is God telling you to do for this season? Stanley, what is God telling you to do? Yip, what is God telling you to do? The only thing he said was, instead of taxing people and getting all the monies from all the subjects, right? What did he do? Instead, I devoted myself to the work on this wall. Further, 150 Jews and officials ate at my table, as well as those who came to us from the surrounding nations. Each day, one ox, six sheep, some poultry were prepared for me, and every 10 days, an abundant supply of wine of all kinds. My goodness. Lucky Nyam and Karen and Li Ying were not there. Abundant wine of all kinds was there. In spite of all this, I never demanded the food allotted to the governor because the demands were heavy on the people. What was his response? Can I suggest to you, next slide. This is Nehemiah, meekness personified. You know what's the word meekness? Meekness is power under check. You have the power, you don't use. Have you met people who have the power and they'll use it and they want to know that they have the power and they're using it and they're showing off? Have you met people like that? Got superiors like that? Don't mention names. Have not? Have, all the time. Purposely show you a play rank. Your army, right? Got people play rank. Pool rank. We call it pool rank, right? J.J. Lin, have not? Pool rank. What does Nehemiah do? Don't take the food. Don't tax the people. Only devote myself to the work. Never acquire any land. Every day, one ox, six sheep, and 10 days air supply of wine. In spite of all this, I never demanded the food to governor. Hey, you have to feed 150 Jews and officials. That's a major logistic exercise. And he was happy to do that. As well as those who came to us from Bhutan, from Kyrgyzstan, from Pakistan, all countries come. He feeds them. It's one big party, man. That was Nehemiah. Meekness personified. Having the right and our power to do something, but refraining for the benefit of someone else. That's meekness, isn't it? Can do something, tarik, don't do. Actually, he can. If I'm in shoes, I will take, man. Nyap, all the wines come, bring over. I'm the governor. Karen, don't look. Governor, wine. Make sure. Private chef, good wine. Take. Nothing of the sort. And if you forget what I say, I show you the next slide. You remember. Pray, don't pray, pray. What does Nehemiah do? And with that, we'll come to the communion later. He prays. He tells people, he tells God, strengthen my hands, and there will be a chapter, another verse. He says in verse 19, remember me with favor, my God, for all I've done for these people. He prays. He doesn't pray. Who are the people who pray on people? Exactly those people who pull rank. You pray on people. So can we just be mindful? We pray for people. We don't pray on people. The word P-R-A-Y and P-R-E-Y. You just change one alphabet. Don't pray, but really pray for people. Nehemiah 5:19, next slide please. Remember me with favor, my God, for all I've done for this people. As we come for Lord's communion today, which I'm thankful to have, we judge ourselves, right? Number one, I said later when you take communion, please judge yourself. Don't condemn yourself. Judge yourself as in evaluate. Make sense? Evaluate anything wrong, better get it right before God, before you take the communion. But number two, is it okay to tell God to remember you, Malcolm? What do you think? Nehemiah, almost like some people say, take skin. Wow, so take skin. Remember me with favor. Isn't that what we're God? Isn't that what this church is all about? What does it say? From favor to flavor. I always like to play with words, Fu Sheng. Favor to flavor, add one L. Pray. Take A away, put E, the whole thing changes. But remember me with favor, my God, for all I've done for these people. I'm going to start praying that, man, for myself. God, people like Nyap and Karen are so difficult. Remember me with favor for all I've done for them. Not only Karen, the Karens that want the healing, even more difficult. Don't even talk about Wing and Sabrina. Don't even talk about Gun. Gun looks so gentle, but my goodness, that fellow can be damn terrible. Remember me with favor, my God, for all I've done for these people. Today I have a couple of friends, the four of them. I had the permission to share the four of them. They're from Bukit Batok Secondary School, correct? Good friends. Bukit Batok, don't know how many years ago, they're now 20-something, came to see me because they had an accident. They were in a car. The guy who's driving is not here. His name is Matthew, driving, went straight in. And then there's a car, that's a big bus, is it? A van came from the right and smashed into them. And the hit was such that after the hit, the only one who remembers the accident is JJ Lin, correct? The rest all marble, can't remember a thing. Ask them, all cannot remember. Because of the angulation of the bus, it hits on the right side, hits the back. Junyan is I have his permission to share, Junyan is the one that's seated on the back, so his injuries are quite serious. He's got a multiple fractures. Don't look at only a cast and think that's it. There's fractures to the nurse, fractures to the clavicle, ACJ, acromioclavicular joint, and what have you. And then a few other places. And I think there's also some effect on his vision. But I like the fact that they all came to see me. So I said, the driver, all your friends, we're all going the usual, at this age, all go for supper, what have you, and then the injured. I said, do you blame your friend, the driver? Hey, sometimes if you are driving, if something happens to your friends, how you feel? Oh, when let's say we go for supper, I'm sitting behind, very tired. After speaking, I say, can you buy me a nice drink? Yeah, and I'm sitting behind, next thing, I think, boom, bang. I can't remember a thing. But I only know I'm injured now. If I'm in your shoes, I'll be very angry, right? But these four of them, the last I checked, they're not believers, but they exhibit forgiveness. There's no human anger. They don't come and ask them time and again, are you very angry with your driver friend? The driver friend is not here because he's a Christian, but he's not here, not because he don't want to, I think he's not free. But I look at Jun Yan, I look at JJ Lin, that's why you're a pop star, you understand? And then I look at Zhan Yu, Fu Sheng better still, Fu Sheng is the resident kapo. Fu Sheng is not even involved, but he was in another car.
One street,
the other car, that's why not injured. But I see the friendship, I see them just exercising grace. I see no human anger. You understand? That's why I tell people we've got so many things to learn even from life. But today, I want to later, when we have an opportunity, I want us to pray for those who are injured. They are really injured. And for those people like Luther, you know what the Bible says? You're also accident victim, right? You're actually the best person to pray for people who come after you who are accident victims. And next time, Jun Yang, after you, right? I'm sure there'll be other people who will accident. And I'll tell you to pray for them. Do I pray for people to get accidents? I don't. But even if I don't pray for people to get accidents, will there still be accidents? That's why the church is like a hospital. So I'm just really so touched when people come. Just come and let God do the rest. I want to pray for healing. I want to pray that something gets restored. So guys, I look at them, they're what? You're 20 what? 24, 25? So young. You're not even half my age, you know. The one who laugh, is saying, you're not even one-third my age. They are lagiwas. I salute you. Later, I want to. Can we pray for them? I'm going to invite some of them people. There's something biblical. Luther, you must come, you understand? Because you had accident before. You are the best place person. Later, lay hands, pray. I'll tell you like Nyap and Joe. I want to pray, especially for Jun Yang, J.J. Lin. Pray for healing. May God. Because the road to recovery may take some time, isn't it? And sometimes along the way, what do you do? You get fed up, right? Some things you want to do. He also likes to play football like me. So later I'll pray for you, we'll play football again. But let's pray for something to happen. But as we come before the Lord, as we take the Lord's communion later, the four boys, thank you, gentlemen, you just observe the ceremony because you're new to us. As you take the communion, judge yourself. I'm not telling you to take a cane and whack yourself. Please don't do that. Winston, if later Owen do that, stop him, you understand? I say judge as in evaluate. Don't need to go and whack yourself. Oh, so it's Philip, you whack him. Philip, you way back. No need. But as you take communion, judge yourself. And remember what, I like what Nehemiah prayed. Remember me with favor, God, for all the things I've done for these people. So I want you to just prepare your hearts. I'm going to ask, today is husband and wife team. All Zapalang don't know go where. Silas not free, Jasmine not free. So today, husband and wife team, we're going to just lead us into a time of communion. Can I just ask you to prepare your hearts as Karen starts to play? Come, let's pray. We're going to sing the song, Shepherd of My Soul, as we come before the Lord. For those who are new, we believe Jesus died on the cross for us. He's the shepherd of our soul. He's the shepherd of our soul. I'm reminded, the song doesn't say he's the shepherd of our body. It's the soul that matters, not that your body is not important. I'm most concerned that we're the hospital here. Yes, God will heal us of our injuries, but it's the soul that needs to be saved. Because the soul, when your soul is safe or not, determines where you go. Sabrina, isn't that true? Sabrina looks very pretty, right wing? But one fine day, she won't look like that. One fine day, she will go back to heaven. But that's all I care about, because the soul that needs to be saved. Auntie, 明白吗? How you say soul in Chinese? 灵魂啊. It's the soul that needs to be saved. So as we sing this song, come, be saved. Can you all stand before the Lord? Shepherd of my soul.
Shepherd of my soul, I give you full control. Wherever you may lead, I will follow. I have made a choice to listen for your voice. Wherever you may lead, I will go. Or by a gentle stream, the shepherd of my soul is by my side. Should I face a mighty mountain or a valley dark and deep, the shepherd of my soul.
From the top you sing, shepherd of my soul. Sing to the Lord, shepherd of my soul.
Shepherd of my soul, I give you full control. Wherever you may lead, I will follow.
I've made a choice.
I have made a choice to listen to your voice. Wherever you may lead, I will go.
Be it in the quiet pastures.
Be it in the quiet pastures. By a gentle stream, the shepherd of my my soul is by my side. Should I face a mighty mountains or a valley dark and deep? The shepherd of my soul will be my God.
Should I be?
Should I face a mighty mountains or a valley dark and deep? The shepherd of my soul is by my side. Should I face a mighty mountains or a valley dark and deep? The shepherd of my soul will be my God. Will be my God.
If it's convenient for you, my four gentlemen friend, no need, you can just sit down. But the rest of you, if it's convenient for you, I want you to take a knee before the Lord. As you come before the Lord to take the Lord's communion, remember something as you come before the Lord today. Remember two things. Remember the Lord. It is okay, like Nehemiah, to come before the Lord, and say to the Lord as you prepare for the Lord's communion, remember me, O Lord, with favor, my God, for all I've done. And some of you have labored for God. You have even honored your parents. The Lord remembers you. So remind yourself that it is okay to come before the Lord. Remember me, Lord, with favor, my God. And then number two, as you take the communion, remember the Lord and judge yourself. Not that you condemn yourself, but as you come before the Lord, get it right before God. Anything that brings you away from God, anything that causes you to not to get it right for God, come before the Lord. So can you take this opportunity for about 30 seconds before we start? Get it right with God before we go, even as Karen continues to play. Praise the Lord. Bread represents the body of Christ, and the red liquids, the blood of Jesus. And as you take this, remember the Lord even as He remembers you. Pray to Him, and as you judge yourself, evaluate, may there be only righteous anger from henceforth. Lord, as the people of God, we want to get it right with You. As you partake the Lord's Supper, Lord, remember us. We pray this in Jesus' name. When you're ready, just partake of the Lord's Supper at your time. In the quiet pastures,
be it in the quiet pastures, or by a gentle stream, the shepherd of my soul is by my side. Should I face the mighty mountains or valley dark and deep, the shepherd of my soul.
One last time, sing the chorus to the Lord. Be it in the quiet.
Be it in the quiet pastures or by a gentle stream, the shepherd of my soul is by my side, by my side. Should I face the mighty mountains or a valley dark and deep, the shepherd of my soul.
Even as Karen continues to play, I'm going to invite my friends to come. I invite my friends. Jun Yang, can you come forward? J.J. Lin as well, come forward. Fu Sheng can come forward. Chan Yu, come forward as well. Some of the leaders, some of the people, I want you to come forward. Lucas, come. Malcolm, Karen Yap, whoever feels that gun, come. The injured one, raise your hands. These are the three injured. Can you separate yourself, separate as well? So at least I can some people. No, stand before here, come. Okay, so this is one of them, injured party one. You can face me, come, don't worry. Face me. You, come. Don't get hit too big, oh. Just go and call you JJ Lin. And this is Chun Yen. I want us to pray. They are sick. They're healing so well. This guy got chest pain. This one also chest pain. So they got some impact. I want us to pray for them. Can you pray for God to heal them? And I want to pray that the devil doesn't have a wedge, because they are friends. You can, after a while, if you're not feeling well, you may want to blame the driver, right? Or whatever. But ask the God to heal. Okay? So can I ask you to just lay hands upon them? Malcolm, come, pray for them. Come. Just lay hands upon them. Pray for them. And as you pray, can I ask you to just lift your hands just to receive the prayer? Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Someone to pray for my friend Fu Sheng as well. Come, Owen, can you just pray for him? He doesn't have to be sick to be prayed for. Come, let's pray for him. Ask God to bless him. Thank you. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Amen. Amen. Praise you, God. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And the three of you, just listen as I pray. Lord Jesus, come. I pray for my friend Jun Yang, Junan, and also Jan Yu. In the name of Jesus, Lord, today is an accepted time. As they come before you, may they be healed. As the church stretch out their hands for you, Lord, release your presence upon their lives, so that, Lord, they will from head to toe feel the touch of God. So, Lord, every part of the body, the eyes, the fractures to the different parts of the body, the chest pain, any mental trauma, in the name of Jesus, Lord, begin the process of restoration, of healing, of refreshment, of rejuvenation. Father, thank you for this man, and thank you for Fushin. I pray for them that their friendship will bind, that because despite of this accident, they will become better friends. They'll look out for each other, and I pray that, Lord, there will be no wedge driven against between them and the driver who's not here today. So, Lord, thank you for them. Bless them. For those who are still studying, I pray for you that your mind will be intact, that you'll be able to do exceedingly well for your exams in Jesus' name. So that when you get that first class honors from the university, you'll be able to come and say, I remember that prayer. God has answered my prayer. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you. I pray for you that from this, many people will know of the saving grace of Christ. Father, thank you for Jun Yang, for Junan, for Zhang Yu, and for Fu Sheng. Bless them, watch over them, bring them here again, if that's your will. Speak to them, so that tonight when they sleep, something happens in the dreams. You'll meet them, you'll speak to them. We pray all this through the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. Thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you. Let's pray and end this prayer. Receive the prayer from the Lord as you leave this place. Father, thank you. As the people of God leave this place, Father, let them be reminded that church begins on a Monday. Bless them, watch over them, protect them. And for those who are struggling from COVID or any other disease, heal them. For those on YouTube, watch over them so that they hear the Word of God. The Word of God translates and past the virtual mouths, so that the Word of God hits them where it matters most, the heart. Lord, bless them. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. See you next week. God bless you.